Ready to go down to the river, Dennis, please?
I need to wash off. Yes, sir.
Well, this is Trites Talk, and I'm Donald Wayne.
And I'm Dennis Lee.
Having a little bit of in and out issues here.
Well, well, that could be left up to interpretation.
Oh, you know, sometimes you don't really realize what you say until after you've said it.
Yeah.
And so, uh-oh.
They have pills for that, BP said.
Yeah, they do. But, you know, a person can only take so many pills. I mean,
my Lord, I know it.
Sooner or later, one's got to react with another somewhere.
Welcome, yes, BP. Yes. Welcome, Sarmenti.
Yes, welcome. Welcome, welcome to Trice Talk for Thursday. This is our first Thursday show. We had a bunch of firsts this week.
We did have a bunch of firsts. I like it.
Yeah. That's going to make it hard to follow that up next week. We're going to have to think of something else to pump it up.
Pump it up.
So how was your day? It was a rainy day in Atlanta.
It was very eventful. I drove in the rain all day long. So I went all over town today. So
did you?
I stayed away from the major traffic jam. Horrible wreck on 75. That was bad.
Really? Northbound?
Yes. Northbound. They actually shut 75 down. There was a 10 car pileup and a vehicle explosion.
Oh my gosh.
Oh, Sarmenti, fog was no good. That was foggy here this morning, too. But in Texas, they actually had a 70-car pileup.
Because they have ice there, right? In Fort Worth, Dallas area?
Yeah, it was in the Fort Worth area.
Yeah.
They had some fatalities, injured a bunch of people. It was a mess. There was vehicles on top of vehicles. It was horrible.
Yeah, I was kind of wondering when I saw that today about Ellie J. I wonder, because she's somewhere around that Dallas-Fort Worth area, wondering if she was dealing with the inclement weather.
If it's icy on the roads, I'm not going out anyway. Yeah, Sarmenti, much like Final Destination. Don't need it.
You know, I don't think I've been on I-75 since really the height of the pandemic last year. I don't think I've been on an expressway at all. I haven't had a reason to. You know, most of my jobs have been out in, you know, areas where I do not have to get on 75.
I've been on 285, 75, 575, and 400. And I can tell you that 400 and 275 have not gotten any better. Did I say 275? I meant 285.
You did say 275. Yeah. I'm thinking, what is 275?
I was going 275 on 285 while I was looking at 575 to hit 75. So,
well, you know, last year during the height of the pandemic as well, since there were so few cars on the road, they had a problem up in Fulton County with people driving in excess of 100 miles an hour on, you know, on the 400. Freeway. And you know, they were expensive cars, you know, people were just showing off. But yeah, that was a problem around Atlanta.
Yeah. No.
No. Hey, Just Duck. Hey,
Just Duck, welcome. Yeah, when it's icy, I don't mind the snow as much, but when it's icy, nah, that's okay.
Well, the freezing weather is just a little bit north of us. I think it's right around Chattanooga, or it's knocking on the door at Chattanooga. So, you know, it may creep down here tonight. We're kind of in between two little air masses, and that's why it's so wet.
Yeah.
I heard thunder this morning. I said, this is February. Of course, we had a we had a tornado in January one time in Atlanta. So that's...
Hey, long live Flacco. Yeah, I saw lightning this morning. I was over in Douglasville about 9:30, and there was lightning and pouring down. It was a mess.
Well, that's Georgia weather.
Indeed. If you don't like it, just wait a few minutes.
Well, we used to say that about Texas, too, though.
I know. We seem to say that about a lot of southern states. What's up with you, bro? Yeah, I don't know. It's always forever changing. But you know.
Well, of course I was in the office today, so I got exposed. I was exposed.
To what? Oh, you're okay, aren't you?
Yeah. Well, no, not really. I think I have a little bit of brain damage.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
To the impeachment signals. Stuff. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I didn't expose. I said I was
okay.
I was exposed.
Yeah, neighbors won't appreciate it.
No. Well, I'm in the tower anyway. They couldn't see me up here. But yeah, I ended up seeing a lot of the I had it muted. Hey, yeah. Eric. I had it muted, so I didn't. Every once in a while, I would unmute it so I could hear what some of the commentators were saying, but I tried not to listen to too much of what the Democrats were saying.
Aren't they wrapping up? Didn't it wrap up? Was this the final day?
Yeah. Democrats are through. So tomorrow, Trump's team starts in, and they're saying that, you know, they're contemplating only taking 2 to 3, maybe 4 hours tomorrow. So they're not going to be.
They're not going to get enough. They're not going to get enough Republican votes to make this thing go through, and it will be wasted time again. And you know, it'll all be for naught, other than for them to say that they attempted to impeach Donald Trump twice. So
tried twice and spent 4 years trying to make it several times. Trying to get enough dirt on him to get him out of there. I mean, they tried to get him out of office the day he was inaugurated. I think somebody came up to the floor of the House and proposed articles of impeachment, or they proposed that they consider impeachment, you know, very early on. So,
well, you know, and some of the local radio show hosts that we thought were more Republican have actually turned, and I was listening to old the Double E today. I don't even want to say his name because he aggravated me so much.
Oh, Eric Erickson.
Yeah, that guy. And he said that you know, he said that Trump should definitely be impeached and punished, that he was the cause of the insurrection.
Well, then it's a good thing that I don't have an opportunity to listen to him anymore. I haven't probably heard him and since way before last Christmas, because the time frame of when I'm out working, usually I'm not leaving till 7:30, 8 o'clock at night. So I miss Eric, and I'm glad I didn't hear that. Yeah. Well, you know, he didn't like Trump in the beginning. He didn't think Trump was going to win. And of course, a lot of people didn't.
Right.
But he criticized Trump just about the entire time he was running, and he's never really said a lot of great things about him, but I'll give you all day long to say what you don't like about Donald Trump. But yeah, when you start talking garbage, like he caused those people to do what they did in the Capitol building that day, with all the questions that are coming up now, they're even questioning whether that poor Capitol Hill policeman that was killed, whether he actually died because of the fire extinguisher to the head or if it was something else. And, you know,
I don't know. It's a mess either way you look at it.
And they will not identify the guy or the person that shot Babbitt, you know, the woman who was.
Right.
Why in the world you'd want to be the first one coming through, you know, when somebody broke a hole in a window or a door like that? I don't know. I don't know why they were trying to get in there anyway, but. Yeah.
Well, then there should be video of that in the first place.
I mean, yeah, all the cameras around that building. And, but yeah, they're questioning now whether that police officer actually died of injuries from being hit with a fire extinguisher or it was something else. So, but you know, they went ahead and cremated him pretty quickly after they finished the autopsy, and they're not releasing the autopsy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's I question that anytime that bodies are rushed to be disposed of.
Yeah.
Osama bin Laden.
you know, it's. You understand on one hand, but usually when somebody is murdered, it takes them a little bit longer. I mean, that's basically what it would have been if he had been killed by a blow to the head. Somebody hit him with a fire extinguisher or manslaughter, I guess, maybe. But
thank you for the coffee there, BP. I'll share some with you.
Thanks, BP. Oh, yeah, I could use a cup. I don't have enough caffeine in me right now, but.
Woo!
But usually they don't until they finish an investigation, they usually hang on to the body for a while. So I don't know.
Well, thank you. Oh, there's one. We got an extra one. We'll throw that one over to Eric.
So yeah, Eric, that's a cup for you. So anyway, you got me started talking about Eric Erickson.
He fired me up today. And yeah, that's right, Sir Minty. They're probably on a beach. Sitting around somewhere, you know, rich and, you know, living it up. What were you thinking? They're dead.
Hey, Eric. And I know you're a big fan of Eric Erickson, right?
Not really. Unfortunately, I mean, he's a never Trumper in my books. He's basically the poster child of that.
Yeah, but he has at times come out and said some of the positive things that Trump did accomplish, he would at least admit that. But if he's going to jump in Geraldo Rivera is the same way, you know, Geraldo bounces back and forth between, you know, trying to act like a conservative and then he becomes a liberal real quick. So
bless you.
It's the same way. Geraldo's, you know, mm-hmm. He's angry at the president and said the president, you know, incited the people to do that. And he should have never said the things that he said that day. So tomorrow should be interesting because they're saying that the Trump team, the Trump defense team, now that the Democrats have played all these videotapes of these things that were said by Trump, you know, for the last several years, now the Trump team can go in there and they've got a plethora of material that they can pull up and play if they want to, but they still say, you know, they're not planning on taking the 2 full days that they're allotted for the defense. So we'll see.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be working in my office again tomorrow, so I'm sure I'll be exposed to some of it. I may actually be able to have the volume on a little bit tomorrow.
Oh Lord, here we go. Well, you know, one of his lawyers does kind of freak me out. The guy, I think we said his name last night, Shump. Is it Shump? Shump? Scrump?
It's something along that line, yeah. He's the one that didn't do such a great job, or is it the other one?
Well, no, he's the one that every time he takes a drink of water, he holds the top of his head. I think I may have mentioned that last time, but it continues to bother me.
Well, maybe he has a toupee. Maybe he has a hairpiece on.
He's bald.
Oh.
He's fairly bald on top.
So. Maybe that's a false baldness that he has there.
Okay. Well, hey, it could Crimson. Be. Hey, Crimson. I just, you know, one of the things I wonder about.
So. I haven't seen that. I haven't seen him.
Well, watch it. Watch. You can replay some of the testimony, and every time he takes a drink of water, he'll hold the top of his head like his head's going to fall off. It could be a brain freeze. It could be very.
I saw that.
Did you see that, Eric? Yeah, that's.
I've seen images of it, and I wonder why he's like doing that.
I don't know. I bet they'll do it on. I bet they will do a skit of that on Saturday Night Live. And if I watch them anymore,
imagine that being really like memed on social media, similar to like Bernie Sanders in the Big Mittens.
Lord, I've seen so many Bernie Sanders memes, and I've seen some that are a little risque.
Really?
Yeah, it kind of freaked me out when they pop up on my phone.
Well, it was funny when it first started. I mean, some of the places they would put Bernie was, and we talked about him on the show one night, but it's just, it's hilarious. But then, yeah, okay, we're past that point now. Let's move on to something else.
Yeah, it used to be Where's Waldo, now it's Where's Bernie.
I know, right?
Oh, well. One other quick thing before we get into the this day in history, which I'm sure you have, don't you, Dennis Lee?
Oh, there's always a day in history.
Okay. I heard somebody made a statement today. They were talking about Twitter, you know, and there was all this conversation that, you know, once they booted Trump off of there, that conservatives would leave in droves and, you know, it would be Twitter's downfall. Well, Twitter was bragging that actually their usage went up in January. Well, as soon as I heard that, the first thing that popped in my mind was, well, you eliminate your competition, why wouldn't your usage go up a little bit?
Right.
So, you know, it's like if Walmart could get rid of Target, you know, I think Walmart's business would probably increase as well. But yeah, they're bragging about it. Yeah, they're not going to leave us. But also, did we talk about this the other night, that Parler was supposed to be able to come back this week? You know, they fired the booted the CEO, I guess, of the company, and they had put out a statement that they thought they were going to be able to come back on the air sooner than later.
The difference is people want to find Waldo. That's very good. That's funny, BT.
Yeah, well, Bernie's not too hard to find. So
did you know why Waldo only wore, he would never wear polka dotted shirts?
Is this a test?
Mm-hmm.
No, I don't know.
Because he never wanted anybody to spot him.
It's always the striped shirts, I remember.
I mean, I only remember a few times seeing those where you had to locate Waldo. I was able to find him, but it's been a long time.
Indeed.
All right, so I guess we can roll into your This Day in History.
Okay, well, I'm glad you said that, Donald Wayne. This day in history... on February the 11th, 1990, Nelson Mandela, leader of the movement to end South of African apartheid, is released from prison after 27 years. In 1944, Mandela, a lawyer, joined the African National Congress, the oldest black political organization in South Africa, where he became a leader of Johannesburg's youth wing of the ANC. In 1952, he became deputy national president of the ANC, advocating nonviolent resistance to the apartheid. South Africa's institutionalized system of white supremacy and racial segregation. However, after the massacre of peaceful black demonstrators at Sharpeville in 1960, Nelson helped organize a paramilitary branch of the ANC to engage in guerrilla warfare against the white minority government. In 1961, he was arrested for treason, and although acquitted, he was arrested again in 1962 for illegally leaving the country. Convicted and sentenced to 5 years at Robben Island Prison, he was put on trial again in 1964 on charges of sabotage. In June 1964, he was convicted along with several other ANC leaders and sentenced to life in prison. Mandela spent the first 18 of years of his 27 years in jail at the brutal Robben Island Prison, confined to a small cell without a bed or plumbing. He was forced to do hard labor in a quarry. He could write and receive a letter once every 6 months, and once a year he was allowed to meet with a visitor for 30 minutes. However, Mandela's resolve remained unbroken, and while remaining this symbolic leader for the anti-apartheid movement, he led a movement of civil disobedience at the prison that coerced South African officials into drastically improving conditions on Robben Island. He was later moved to another location where he lived under house arrest. And in 1984, F.W. de Klerk became South African president and set about dismantling apartheid. De Klerk lifted the ban on the ANC and suspended executions, and in February 1990 ordered the release of Nelson Mandela. Mandela subsequently led the ANC and its negotiations with the minority government for an end to apartheid and the establishment of a multiracial government. And in 1993, Mandela and de Klerk were jointly awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. 1 year later, the ANC won an electoral majority in the country's first free elections, and Mandela was elected South Africa's president. And then Mandela retired from politics in 1999, but remained a global advocate for peace and social justice until his death in December 2013. And that is this day in history, February 11th, 1990.
So what was Joe Biden's story that he went to South Africa to see Mandela and he was arrested? Isn't that something he was seeing last year? Anybody remember that besides me?
I don't remember that.
Sounds
like something he'd say.
Something that he was arrested, you know, trying to see Mandela. Maybe I dreamed that. I don't know. Sounds awful familiar to me.
Okay. If you dream that, that's a whole different nutshell right there.
I may call into that other show that talks about dreams and conspiracies.
Exactly.
Okay. Went over to sniff new people. Okay. I had to think about that for a second.
Oh, my goodness. Well, are you ready for your big day?
What?
Oh,
my big day? do I have one coming up?
Yes.
Oh, sweet calendar girl.
Oh, come on, calendar.
What girl. Happened? Did they fall over?
What happened to my calendar girl?
Let's start the year off right.
February.
Oh, you're my little Valentine.
March.
Gonna march you right down the aisle.
April.
You're the Easter bunny when you
smile. You made it to Easter.
Yeah, I know.
They don't seem very excited. They're not very excited about that January, are they?
No, it's like January.
So. Okay. All right, so we have several days in National Calendar Day for Woo. February the 11th. A bunch of stuff that people are celebrating or not. First one on the list is National Don't Cry Over Spilled Milk Day.
I have to say I've never cried over spilled milk.
No, I don't know that I've ever spilled any, but spilled everything else. Mm. This day promotes a positive attitude even when things may not be going your way.
Oh.
It's a day for looking on the bright side of things and then carrying that feeling with you every day after.
Right.
It was taken from a proverb. It says the proverb was no weeping for shed milk. as referenced by James Howell in 1659. I don't know that proverb, but that's what it originated from, they say.
Shed milk.
Shed milk.
That was something else back in the day when I was growing up.
I don't know how you shed milk, unless you're a coconut or something.
Are you shedding milk today?
That would sound like a dangerous condition. It's also National Inventors Day. And it goes on to say, thanks to inventors, we can safely ride in an elevator, have a well-lit room at the flip of a switch, speak to someone on the other side of the world, or efficiently pump lotion from a bottle.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, they had to throw that one in there. Nearly everything around us is the result of someone tinkering in their garage, their laboratory, their basement, or somewhere to find a solution to a problem. So thank you, all the inventors in the world, especially for that pumping lotion from a bottle, which I hate those because you never get to pump it all out of there.
Put the lotion in the basket. Yeah.
You have to take that pump off and, you know, bang it on something to get the rest of it.
That's right. While you're tinkering.
While you're tinkering in the garage. It's also National Make a Friend Day. That's kind of a nice one there. Friends serve as a vital role in everyone's lives. They are one of life's most valuable assets, says the site.
You got a friend.
All right. This next one, Dennis Lee, is one of your favorite things. You feel like a song?
I'm breaking into it.
It's National Peppermint Patty Day, and we're not talking about the Peanuts character.
Oh, that's exciting.
No, this is about the old chocolate thing. The oldest commercially made mint patty or cake was made by the Quiggins family on the Isle of Man. So if you've never had a Quiggins peppermint patty.
You sure they're not the people making the lotion?
Yeah.
That's not Jergens. That's Quiggins.
I've never heard of Quiggins peppermint patties. But I was surprised. They had been making the cake since 1840, but in 1880, four of the sons formed the Kendall Mint Cake Company. Anybody cares about that?
That sounds fancy.
Possibly the most known, though not the oldest, York peppermint patties were made by the York Cone Company of Pennsylvania. So I guess they made ice cream cones. I mean, that would be the...
BP, you must have some insight into that.
Uh-oh. Was he adding to that?
No, he's up in that area.
Oh, okay. I thought he was commenting on the patty.
York, he lives in Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Close to York, by any chance? Yeah. Anyway, York patties were first made in 1940. York dominated the market because of its firmness and crispness, while the others were soft. I knew you could have run it for me. A former York employee remember that the final snap test of the patty before it left the factory was called a snap test.
That's very original.
Brilliant deduction. If the candy did not break clean in the middle, it did not make it onto the candy store shelves.
Oh, wow.
Now, this is something I didn't know. In 1975, York was acquired by the Peter Paul Cadbury Company. And I didn't know Cadbury was Peter Paul. So,
and where's Mary?
Hey, Sean. All right. So, moving on from the patty, I know you don't like peppermint anyway. That's why I was trying to give you a hard time about that.
Heartburn.
Another nice day was National Shut-In Visitation Day, and it serves as a reminder to bring some cheerful company to people who are unable to leave their homes. Well, good luck with that in the last year. But visiting a person who is shut in makes a positive difference in that person's life. So,
you know, they're working on making robots to for people who are locked in because of COVID that have no other people to interact with.
Well, I hope those are government funded.
I'm sure.
Because I imagine they would be fairly expensive.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they're not cheap.
It's also, let's see, National White Shirt Day or White T-Shirt Day. Now, that sounds kind of odd, right? This actually commemorates a day that's historic for auto workers because a strike was resolved in February of 1937 when the stock market crashed and in 1929 triggered the Great Depression. Auto manufacturers laid off thousands of workers to cut cost. They started hiring people back when there was a little movement in the economy, but they would hire people back at lower wages. So this is kind of one of the things that led to auto unions or workers unions being so strong in the automotive industry because of that, you know, what they were trying to do, hiring people back cheaper than when they had to lay them off. By 1936, the conditions had reached such a dangerous and fierce pace. They were picketing, and a lot of pickets back in those days were dangerous because, you know, some people would come in and they would end up fighting with baseball bats. A lot of people got hurt in picket lines. So they decided the next best thing is we'll do a sit-in. So they actually they did a 44 day sit-in in the Flint, Michigan General Motors plant. So for 44 days, they stopped the production of cars in that General Motors plant. And they finally had some concessions. And out of that came the United Auto Workers Union. So that happened because of that one thing. That's why they call it White T-Shirt Day. For some reason, I guess all the workers were wearing T-shirts. And then
probably a good thing.
Yeah. Yeah. Last thing is National Giving Hearts Day. And that's just about this day sets aside a time where you actually give to your favorite charity. They actually have a website. It's called givingheartsday.org. And you can go on that website and they have a number of charities that are listed there. And 100% of what you donate to this on this particular website goes to the cost of the or goes to the particular charity. There's nothing kept out for expenses or anything. So
that's awesome.
The minimum donation is $10. And they say, well, that's about the cost of two cups of coffee, I guess, at Starbucks. And you could probably get four cups of coffee for $10 at Waffle House, I guess.
So. Oh, well, I'm going to squeeze at least two into Dunkin' Donuts, or three into Dunkin' Donuts.
I'm sorry. I keep leaving Dunkin' Donuts.
Donuts.
I
might have to use that one. That's pretty good, Donald.
Yeah. Put that on my list of missteps. All right, that's it, Dennis Lee. You can keep those guys in if they're still in the mood to sing.
Let me wake them up here and see what they got going on. That didn't go very well. We had a situation.
Situation, you know, like on the Jersey Shores?
Yeah. Let's see here.
And that guy's name, Situation? The Situation or something like that?
Yeah, The Situation.
Yeah, The Let's start the year off right.
February.
Oh, you're my little
Valentine.
March.
Gonna march you right down the aisle.
April.
You're the Easter bunny when you smile.
Oh, yeah,
my heart's in a whirl. I love my little calendar girl.
Every day.
Thank you, Shaky Graves. We don't care about that.
What was it? Is he?
I'm talking about my daddy now.
Now you can't get him to shut up.
Shut your mouth, Shaky.
you, Did you see it? BP says, so is that a new coffee nut? The donut.
I'm going to get a donut with extra cream and a little caramel.
I bet that gets repeated to you, too. Oh, I'm sorry. So, what did you say?
So what did you call me?
Okay. Well, moving right along.
Yes.
So as I was suffering through some of this stuff going on in the House today, the impeachment managers, one after the other, coming up there, and basically it looked like, of course, I was reading, you know, the text up there, and it sounds like they were all saying pretty much the same thing. But one that I tried to listen to a little bit, just because he was from Texas, you know, I always like to listen to these people from Texas and see what kind of people they're raising in Texas now that you and I are no longer living there. But
right,
this one House impeachment manager, Joaquin Castro, and doesn't say what district he's from in Texas, but he said that because of Trump's actions that day, the world is laughing at us, seeing us as frail because of what happened on January the 6th, all due to Trump's inciting words. They also, Jess, I saw Joe, I think it's Neguse, I'm not sure, from the Goose, from Colorado was... Also, he came right after Joaquin Castro, and they were pretty much saying the same thing, but I muted him. I was reading the text. But, you know, in listening to what they were saying, I mean, when they were talking about the world making fun of us and so forth, and they see us as weak now because of the things that happened that day, it made me recall all the stuff that went on last year, and I wondered why the world wouldn't see us, you know, laugh at us because of some of the things that they did last year.
Right.
But just the fact that they breached the Capitol building, you know, I mean, it probably showed that, yes, you know, these buildings aren't as secure as you think they would be, you know, especially with all those people that were expected to be in town for several days in Washington, D.C.
Yes. And the congressional district that Joaquin Castro represents in Texas is the 20th congressional district, if I read correctly. And that it falls near San Antonio.
All right. Well, that makes sense.
And what was the name of the Colorado congressman? And I can look that district up right quick.
That was it's Joe Neguse, Eric. Joe, I think they said Joe Neguse.
Joe Neguse. He represents Colorado's 2nd congressional district.
Just say what city? Case is closed.
I'm looking that up right now. I think it's in the northern portion, like north of Denver, like around like Boulder and Broomfield, as well as Western Jefferson County.
Oh, well.
So, like the northern, like Denver metro.
Make sure he doesn't defile any rocks over there. He'll get arrested.
Yeah. Well, you know, and the San Antonio thing, that makes sense. Because actually, the southern part of Texas, there were several representatives.
Like Brownsville.
And Corpus Christi and south of Houston, maybe even around Houston, a lot of those representatives in Texas were anti-Trump. And in fact, when Donald Trump was going down there to visit the border one more time before he left office, those representatives were telling him that Texas did not want him coming down there, to stay away. So, you know, that doesn't surprise me that Castro is from the San Antonio area. But anyway, so, you know, like I said, that's pretty much what these two guys were talking about today, just saying that all of this stuff that occurred just really hurt our position in the world and the way that people see us, and they see us as weak. But, you know, if it I think it's a little bit more than, I think they probably got a little bit of a taste of it last year when all the things that were allowed to happen in the various cities across the country. But it just makes me wonder, you know, again, why the people in charge of security for the Capitol weren't more prepared for what went on that day in Washington. I mean, they're just the sheer number of people being there should have been a sign. And of course, you know, there are rumors and things that have been said that a number of people did know that it was happening, but yeah, Eric.
And my friend Michael, who lives about 20 minutes from me, said that the only way you could a coup can realistically be accomplished is when the government does not see it coming. And if they thought a coup was going to occur on January 6th or January 20th, you would be, you know, sorely mistaken, because you know that they would be prepared if something like that were to happen. That's one fact that people have to remember.
Yeah, I mean, this isn't one of the issues that I had lined up here, but
I think that's something worth noting, though.
And it's true. It's one of my thoughts today. I mean, seriously, now you want to say that these people thought they were going to have a coup and they were going to take over the government with, I still don't know how many people were supposedly inside the Capitol building that day, but you're not going to do that with 300 or 400 people or 500 people. You're not going to take over the government. You know, they may have been able to capture a few people maybe and try to hold hostages and stuff, but eventually they would have been taken down and it would have been over. So it's laughable for people to say this insurrection was trying to attempt to take over the government and stop Biden from becoming president. So, you know, that's even laughable, but they stand there in that podium and they say with a straight face that that's what these people were trying to do. They were trying to stop Biden from becoming president by taking over the Capitol building. So, and I looked at a different picture of that idiot with the horns on today, and he's standing there. He's got all these tattoos on his body, you know.
They don't even look real.
I'll agree. And him being shirtless and as far north as Washington, D.C. is from Georgia, yeah. I mean, like, if you're outdoors, are you freezing cold or something?
Well, he's wearing sweatpants. I'm looking at a blown up picture of him.
Yeah,
wearing sweatpants. The tattoos look like they're fake.
I think they were painted on.
They got a brand new bullhorn. I don't know. It just looks like. And the guy beside him just got the inauguration shirt on from 2017. He looks like he's like, man, this real. I knew I shouldn't have done it. And the other guy that's on the other side of him looks like he's having a hard time here, and he's like, what?
Oh, the guy with the little shoulder pack or whatever he's got over.
No, the shoulder pack. He's
clueless.
He's paranoid. Like, I don't even know how. And he's got a badge on. Like, he just got off work. Well, I guess he don't have that job anymore.
No. His number.
The other guy with the big fluffy beard on the other side is looking like, what, you want some? Or either that, or you can't hear what's going on. But he's got some snazzy sweatpants on there.
Yeah,
it's like nobody's really. It's not like they're even dressed up for an altercation. This dude's got sweatpants on that looks like if the wind blew hard enough, they would just fall down.
I got another theory that I want to offer for that. I think that guy with the horns, I think he thought he was going to a Washington Redskins football game, you know, because that's the way you see people dress at football games.
I don't think that he – I think that he knew that he – I think he got some money, you know.
You think somebody paid him to go in there?
Yeah.
Well, like, I hope he's got a good lawyer. But
he might have had the interview for that. Like, I don't know if you can do it, Johnson. I can do it. Don't you worry.
You know, and or you have to wonder if George Soros or some other notable billionaire must have paid him to do that.
Right. And you got this other guy back here in the background with a flag wrapped up in his hand looking like, where's the restroom? And, you know, it's just a joke.
Yeah.
A real joke.
It is, but that guy is just, I don't know. It's comical. What he was involved in isn't comical by any means, but the sheer insanity of somebody showing up like that, it's hard to take them seriously. But and also they keep saying that they have, you know, they're being asked by conservative reporters, you know, how many guns were confiscated that day or how many people were armed, and we're not getting any answers to that. So that's kind of suspicious. But so anyway, going back to the original thing, you know, the way the world looks at us and all, and I wonder why in the world, knowing all those people were going to be there, and you had the vice president in the Capitol building that day and everyone else of importance, why they didn't have larger barricades set up outside around the perimeter of the Capitol building and more people to man those. Because even when you know you're going to have peaceful crowds, there's always a chance that there could be, you know, something, especially after what they, you know, what was attempted at the White House last year, the demonstration they had outside the White House. But anyway, so, and then they also came up with the point, I think it was Joaquin Castro said, well, you know, the FBI actually, some people that were on their watch list were there in that crowd in the Capitol building. These are people that the FBI had been watching because they're associated with hate groups. Well, if they were watching them close enough and they knew they were going to be there that day and they knew they were in that crowd going into the Capitol building, why wasn't somebody there to meet them? I mean, what's the point of having somebody on a watch list if you let them go ahead and carry out whatever it is you think they're going to do? Right. So, you know, the more they talk, the more they create questions about the whole situation.
Well, knowing that, like you said earlier, knowing that there was going to be a demonstration that close to the Capitol with everyone in there in the Capitol building, you would have thought that they would have more security. Not saying that that would have prevented anything, but I don't know. There's a lot of coincidences that just don't add up.
Well, the people didn't breach the White House. They weren't able to storm the White House, you know, and of course the Secret Service agents are probably a little bit more, you know, they're going to shoot to kill.
Oh yeah.
If you try to get onto the White House ground. So, you know, maybe they need to be a little bit more, of course, you know, not advocating having to shoot anybody, but there should have been other means to stop those people from getting in there that day. There's a lot of people in the government that get paid a lot of money to figure these things out. You know, they're supposedly watching everything that can go on in this country, you know, especially uprisings and so forth. But yet everybody let this happen that day.
Right.
Let's see. Yeah. And of course, I just made a note. It's insane that they almost acted like they were doing business as usual. Now, yes, we did show, you know, that they did show a weakness in security in the Capitol building. Mm-hmm. I mean, if that's the normal security, then the message went out to the world. Well, on any given day, you know, you could probably get a group of, you know, 20, 30 people to rush the Capitol building and do some serious damage, you know, some serious actors, some Russians or Chinese or some real serious hate groups that want to kill people. So, you know, hopefully that's going to be create a change in all of that. I will agree with Joaquin Castro on one thing, and that's that they did show that there are weaknesses in security around D.C., and hopefully every government building will be more secure after the events of January the 6th.
Well, even just say the president said outright, go attack the Capitol building, and you're a normal everyday citizen, do you think that actually gives you clear authority to go and break into the Capitol building and try to harm any senators or anybody like that? You have to be a real idiot to think, well, by God, the president said it's okay. Let's go, boys. You know?
Well, we know that the left pretty much thinks that all Trump supporters are idiots and anarchists anyway. So you're right. That's an argument that they make, that if we're stupid enough that the president could tell us to go storm a building and do whatever it is they expected to be done that day, you know, that's pretty sad. That's saying that, you know, we can't think for ourselves. Well, they've already said that, you know, and trying to eliminate some of our sources of information. They want to, they were on tonight talking about, you know, some people want to get rid of Fox, or some people want to create a situation where cable companies, they want them to stop carrying stations like Fox, because all they do is incite, you know, people that support Trump. So they're trying to eliminate every source of information for any conservative group in the country. But it's
God forbid you should have an opinion that you know, goes against what they believe in. I mean, it really, either side, you should be able to speak your mind no matter what.
Well, if they think what happened on January the 6th is told the world, you know, that the United States is weak. Evidently, the world wasn't paying attention to the riots last year. They weren't paying attention to the looting that was going on across the country in various cities, or the burning
and the police that were being attacked in the process. And you're right. All the businesses that were looted, all the businesses that were burnt down, the millions and billions. I wish we could, there's probably a total on the internet of how much all the riots totaled cost the country.
Well, what kind of message does it give the world if our country allows people at will to go in and tear down historical monuments, or deface historical monuments and statues, or burn down police stations, or set fire to a federal courthouse? What kind of message does that send to the rest of the world? You know, were we looked at as intelligent, nice people before January the 6th? I mean, I think a lot of people probably were laughing and criticizing this country last year for all the things that were allowed to go on with very, very little criticism from anybody on the left.
So to give you an idea, the Detroit riots, they looked at that at about $42 million in 1967. August 1965, the Los Angeles riots, $44 million. Now, that would have been money that time. These days, it would have been like $357 million. The 1992 Los Angeles riots, $775 million, which would have been about $1.4
billion. That's the Rodney King fallout?
Yeah, in today's money. So last year, you're looking at about... They've got rough estimates, and this was in September of last year, so it could be even higher, of close to $2 billion that it cost. Which some people would say, well, over the course of as long as it lasted, that's not too bad, because they definitely lasted longer than the previous riots that I just talked about or mentioned, but...
So is that a cost of lost business and property damage and everything?
I don't have the information on that. We'll have to research that a little further. But
you can circle around. You can circle back around this.
We're gonna circle around. Next. You in the back? No, wait. We'll circle around. We appreciate it.
I saw this most insane Twitter. What do you call it when it's a line of people responding to the original tweet?
Conga
line. They have conga lines on Twitter. Anyway, it was like I read a thread. Thank you, Crimson.
Oh, very well.
I saw this thread, and it's the stupidest comments. Kevin Sorbo had made a comment about what's her name? Pasabi? Psaki.
Press conference.
Yeah, Psaki. About, you know, her circling around back around to people, and then a bunch of liberals got in there, and it was just made the stupidest comments I think I've ever seen. So it doesn't take much to get them rolling on that. But I do think there's more liberals getting voices on Twitter than I used to see. I think the conservatives used to overwhelm them until they started getting censored. Let's see. I was talked about the FBI people. I mean, you know, like I said, if they knew these people were, if they were truly on a watch list, they knew they were going to be in Washington, D.C., which they should have known if they're being watched. It's like having a group of well-known bank robbers congregate outside of a bank, you know, and nobody does anything about it. What do you think they're up to if, you know, 10, 15 ex-bank robbers are standing out in front of a Wachovia branch somewhere, or Wells Fargo now, I guess it is. So, you know, that's, I think we did enough damage to ourselves last year in the country to think that maybe January the 6th was probably the icing on the cake for the world. But, you know, we allowed mobs to take over, several cities, you know, several blocks within cities and keep them. I guess it was Portland. They were there for 2-3 weeks, something like that.
Well, and actually BP up there in Pennsylvania, I don't know how far he was away from Philly, but that mess that went on in Philly, too, was just horrible when that was going on.
Yeah. So, and then, you know, then they started talking about, you know, Donald Trump has been, ever since he got in office, he was criticizing, you know, he started causing problems. He started making statements that, you know, caused people to be radical, on conservatives to be radical ever since he first got in office. And I started thinking, well, you know, even before he got elected, I mean, even before he took office on January 20th of that year, people were criticizing him. They were already talking about taking him out, that he wasn't legitimate. I mean, he never spent a day in office that he wasn't criticized for one thing or another. Now, there were some things he was criticized for that it was, you know, it was fair game. But the policies and the other things that he was trying to do for the country, he gets no credit for that at all. But they got him painted like some guy that's got to be, you know, it's if he they're saying if he gets elected again, pretty much this same thing can this January 6th thing could happen again. Or if he runs again, I guess I should say, if he runs again, this same thing could happen again. If he loses the election, then January 6th would happen all over again because he would incite people to do the same thing. So they're trying to protect the country from even having to go through another bout of Donald Trumpism, which is, you know, I think they're sold on themselves. I mean, just listening to them, I don't know whether they all truly believe it or not, but they sure talk a good game.
Yeah, I don't know. I just don't know.
So if people around the world want to criticize this country and they think we're a bunch of fools because of what they saw on January the 6th, well, then I would take issue and say, well, they had a whole year to figure that out, you know, way before January 6th ever happened. And that's all I got to say about that.
That's all I have to say about that.
Yeah. What was it? What does he say? Yeah, I guess that's what he says, isn't it? That's all I'm going to say about that.
Yeah, pretty much.
That's all.
It's a little slower and more of a southern drawl.
Yeah, well, catch me on a good day and I can talk slower.
Woo!
All right, Dennis.
looking for material, you know, the Examiner's actually got an article by Eddie Scary. That's a pretty cool name, actually.
Eddie Scary.
Yeah. He's got a piece. It's an opinion piece. He says, admit it, liberals. You have no idea what white supremacy is. I'm like, I don't know.
They use that word a lot.
Yeah, it's getting thrown around a lot. And we could, you know, people could be labeled that for this new bill or law if it gets passed. But it goes on to say that, you know, he calls out liberals that they really don't have a clear definition of what white supremacy actually means. It's something they use to convey a deep-seated hatred for anyone who doesn't vote Democrat. And actually, let me pull up the definition here. I thought I had that.
The Funkin' Wagnalls definition or the Webster definition?
I go with Joe and Ted's version here. white supremacy. Well, that's a Wikipedia. So let's see. White supremacy, the belief that white people are superior to those of all other races, especially black race, and should therefore dominate society. That's what most places are given as the definition of that.
That's so Wikipedia?
Wikipedia is along the same lines as well. Yeah. But the article says that they go on to use it sometimes and just reveal how meaningless the phrase for them actually really is. Rutgers University President Jonathan Holloway wrote Wednesday in an op-ed for the New York Times about the left's favorite fantasy that to be a Trump supporter, especially one who was in Washington, D.C. on January 6, 2021, is to be a white supremacist. Many of the insurrectionists who stormed the Capitol on January 6th were driven by a belief that they were enacting in accord with the principles fashioned at the birth of this country, that their protests embodied America's long history of patriotic rhetoric about freedom and citizenship, he wrote. And in this, they are at least partly right. Such rhetoric has been used time and time again by white supremacists. This is at least a familiar narrative, even if it's dumb, as the article says. For liberals, reverence for the flag and saying things like "Make America Great Again" is all indicative of white supremacy.
I never understood that.
Yeah, they've been spouting it for the last 6 years. Hey, Kenley. Hey, WCP Sean. Look that up in your
fucking Wagnalls. Fucking Wagnalls, yeah.
Hey, oh. Short.
I have.
You have what?
I have a bouncer up here. Kenley.
Oh. Who?
Kenley?
Hey, Kenley, you know, the rule on the show, and we've kind of taken this from the Hey Short from another show, Eric. I believe the Old Man Podcast is the same thing. We really need to kind of get to know you first before we let you up on the line. I think that's a pretty good rule to follow, don't you, Eric? The old man uses that, and I think that's a pretty good rule to follow.
Maybe chat a little bit with.
Yeah, let's chat a little bit down there. Let's get to know each other.
Ralph's the same way too.
Is he? Yeah, I think that's a good rule. Yeah, Jessica, thank you. So yeah, let's chat a little bit and we can get up on the line there. They're using all these phrases as well. If you're spouting these phrases, you're a white supremacist, and that's just ridiculous. But thereafter, Holloway dives off the deep end, referring to the right-leaning men's group Proud Boys as one of the nation's latest iterations of white nationalism. Holloway might have missed it, but the leader of the Proud Boys is a Latino named Enrique Terrio.
Well,
the group, as with many right-leaning activist organizations, has many non-white members. The prominent member, Tusitala Tiny Toze, is of Polynesian descent. So, you know, get your story straight. Even if the left-wing Berkeley Center for the Right-Wing Studies notes that the Proud Boys retains significant membership of people of color, they've even said that they've retained significant membership of people of color. So, you know, there's a lot of disinformation going on out there. And well, the left can spout rhetoric just as much as anybody on the right can. So it's about facts is what it comes down to. You have facts and you have opinions. And there's a lot more opinions that have been thrown out than facts, that's for sure.
They were talking about that couple, that poor couple again, and was it St. Louis again, that the man and woman stood there, you know, with their guns trying to keep the Black Lives Matter crowd from coming up into their yard or on their drive.
Yeah, yeah.
highway that day, you know, the ones that been charged by the DA there. I think it's St. Louis.
Whoa, you're like super fast.
No.
Donald Wayne, you must have gone into a warp.
Yep. Yeah, something flew over. But, you know, the people in that, I think it's the DA, they're calling them white supremacists. They're calling them racist because, you know, they didn't want these people to come up into their yard. I mean, give me a break.
That's their yard.
Give me a break.
I mean, it's like you're on your front porch and a crowd of people just pop into your front yard and start stomping on your grass, tearing crap up, chanting a bunch of stuff. Well, technically, you're on my property. You're not on the sidewalk. You'd serve yourself better if you were on the sidewalk, because then that's considered public property, right?
So, yeah.
But if you're in my grass on my property, you're about to have to be getting off my yard.
Well, you know,
you're about to be forced to. I'll throw the water hose on you. I don't have to use lethal force.
If you're in a subdivision, all of that is private property, technically. Especially gated subdivision like they lived in, and the people tore down the gate. They saw them tear down the gate. So do you think that you might be a little bit concerned that they might do damage to your house?
Thought it could have been the zombie apocalypse.
His wife was waving that pistol around, I thought she was going to shoot her husband. I've never seen anybody hold a gun that way.
A little loose with it, you know. She might have had a couple of toddies before she came out. I don't know, allegedly.
And I need to comment on this. I see Just Ducks said, at least I'm not getting electrocuted tonight.
Yeah,
thank you. Nice. I fixed that problem, I think, Jess. So hopefully we won't be doing that anymore.
Well, the technical team's a little slow, Jess Duck. We're on a small budget, so
But thanks for bringing that up and reminding me of all those noises that I was creating.
The Proud Boys, it says again, is led by Latino and is acknowledged to have significant membership of people of color. And yet the New York Times allows Holloway to call it a white nationalist group. This is the same paper, by the way, that employs a writer who just a few days ago wrote a piece calling for the Biden administration to create a reality czar that would help correct our current reality crisis.
I don't have a reality crisis. Do you?
No, I have no reality. I'm very in touch with reality. Sometimes I try to escape it, but that's usually when I go to bed. That's the only break you get from reality. And sometimes it even creeps in there. So the rest of Holloway's column is with great originality about he was a country. We as a country don't appreciate the full history of slavery enough. The endless series of Oscars that go to movies about the exact subject every single year is apparently not enough appreciation. But why are we supposed to take any of it seriously when he, like other liberals, is so careless with whom he calls white nationalists? And that was an opinion piece by Eddie Scarry. But, I mean, it's you know, not using enough facts and just throwing opinions. If they would say in the very beginning, what am I about to say? This is my opinion.
Right.
That would be different. They spin it as it's a fact. It is not a fact. It is somebody's freaking opinion. And I think that's what people just don't bother to pay attention to.
Well, that's what these impeachment managers were doing today and probably did yesterday. And every time they open their mouth, they say everything like it's a fact. But basically, I mean, there are some facts embedded in some of what they say, but their conclusions are their opinions. And they keep saying it, hoping that, I guess, it'll stick to enough people. But, you know, facts, just the facts, ma'am, just the facts.
That's right. That's all we need. That's why, you know, the majority of the major news media outlets, that's why even Fox is disappointing, because, you know, if they would say in the beginning, this is my, you know, this is one woman's opinion or it was one man's opinion or whatever, instead they just spin it as a fact. And if you fact check it, there's usually some discrepancies to it. You know, so it's a mess.
And it's sad because it if you do that often enough, then you do create questions about your integrity and whether or not you can believe what you say. So,
yeah. Yes, sir.
And we're full of opinions here, so.
Oh, indeed. I mean, there's no shortage.
We'll tell you on that rare moment that we actually have some facts to go with how we feel about things. But,
hey, PBG. You know, and then there's.
Yeah. My full son. Well, most people are.
You know, there's another story out by Devin about Devin Nunes. Predicts that the GOP will be pressured to impeach Biden if they take the House in 2022, which, you know, I'm hoping that they actually will be able to balance some things out at least. And this was a Newsweek article by Jeffrey Martin, but Devin Nunes said Wednesday that if the GOP gains control of the House in 22, Republicans could face pressure to impeach President Joe Biden. Had you seen that, Donald Wayne?
Yes, I'm looking at it now, honestly.
Oh, well. Some Republicans have said that Trump's rhetoric, which included substantiated claims of voter fraud, did not constitute an impeachable offense. So, you know, Hannity interviewed Nunes and said that if we start to get good information out of the American people, Nunes said, Republicans have a good chance of out to the American people. That is, Republicans have a good chance of taking the House in 2022. Now, if that happens, he says, and let's, for example, we don't know what's going to happen to Hunter Biden's laptop.
Yeah.
We don't know what's going to happen with the Durham investigation. But I could see the pressure would become great for us to actually have to impeach Biden. Now, look, I don't want to do that, but you're going to have people that are going to be saying that, Nunes added, which, you know, could very well be true. If those investigations start to bear fruit, then what other choice would they have? They would have as much. Oh, bless you. They would have as much proof. You know, they would have more proof actually at that point. If that broke loose, they would have more of a reason to impeach Biden than they would have Donald Trump, especially that first go around.
Yeah.
So
hey, Big Life. Hey, Laura.
Hey, Laura.
I'm going to stick with what I've said several times on the show that I don't think Biden will stay in a full year, but I could
Kamala
be wrong.
Gets it either way there, BP. So Kamala.
So, you know, that would solve their problem about, you know, and maybe Hunter Biden will be the part that makes Biden have to step down or something. But, you know, the Democrats aren't worried about it because they got Kamala to step in. So,
yeah.
I think if she gets in, she may be a little harder to run against than if Biden were to be able to stick it out for 4 years. But I just don't think he physically can stay in there 4 years.
He doesn't appear to be, well, you know, he didn't appear to be qualified for it during the debate, but apparently everybody overlooked that. So.
Of course, they were too blinded by their hatred of Donald Trump.
Blinded by the light.
Or basically, it's like they just gave Biden like a sympathy vote.
Right.
You know,
right.
Like he was like this victim of elder abuse, which I mean, I really have a hard time believing that he was any kind of victim of elder abuse.
Right. Well, I mean,
because I just see it for what it is.
Unless his wife was beating on him or something. I mean, because he stayed in the basement pretty much the whole time. So
who did this to me?
Who did this to me? Who shut who messed with this door?
Yeah. I mean, you know, he's still he's still making gaffes when he's out in public, and even when he's reading a teleprompter. So yeah, that's pretty bad.
God bless him.
And still sniffing hair.
Allegedly. that's pretty much all I had on that one. That was a pretty short, short piece there.
Didn't you have one more short one there? Or did did we remove that?
I only had two short ones.
All righty then.
Yes.
Well.
Right, BP.
Yeah, I got to remember to look up more often. I miss some of these until they get way up the line.
Dog will hunt.
I was going to look at some Twitter stuff and try to use for tonight, but I thought we probably had enough to carry us through. But
Twitter is.
There was a picture of somebody photoshopped Joe Biden in behind. I was trying to think if it was Kamala Harris, but he's sniffing her hair. It was a freaky looking picture, actually, but I'm not sure that it was Kamala, or maybe it was Nancy Pelosi. It's funny that when the Republicans respond to some of the stuff that's been said by the Democrat impeachment managers, and why they call them impeachment managers, and that what's that guy, Eric, is it Stalwell?
Spalwell.
Spalwell. Yeah. Well, how in the world did he get to be on that? I forgot to mention that when I was talking earlier about the different things they listed. These impeachment managers brought up the point, well, you know, because of the insurrection that day, we don't know what kind of top secret information is now in the hands of foreign governments because of the people that broke in and were, you know, rifling through all the stuff in the chamber, and then Nancy Pelosi's laptop that they got. So they're arguing that, you know, they think that Trump is responsible for, in an indirect way, of some secrets being given off to our enemies or sold to our enemies. So because of what the information these people got that day when they broke into the Capitol building. So that's another thing they've landed on top of him. I guess Nancy didn't think about taking her laptop with her.
Well, yeah, I guess probably just a picture of a Rocky Road or something on there,
or Schumer. No, right. Schumer. Maybe it's a picture of her and Schumer.
Her and Schumer having ice cream together. That's scandalous. That is just scandalous.
There was something on the news tonight. They were showing a picture of a guy that they said he broke into some ice cream shop and stole some ice cream, yet he came out through a window and he was stuck on the second floor ledge, and the police were standing down below him looking at him. And I'm wondering, so where did he plan on putting the ice cream? Because he didn't have anything in his hand. He was holding onto the side of the building for dear life. But
he could have stuffed it in his pants. But
are you going to go to jail for stealing ice cream?
I mean, you know, maybe he was trying to get the Magnum bars. I don't know. Desperate times call for desperate measures.
So what's that brand of ice cream that Nancy Pelosi likes that's $50 a gallon or something like that? It's not Ben and Jerry's.
I think she would eat any flavor. I think she'd eat any flavor ice cream as long as it doesn't eat her.
Yeah, well... And she has a special freezer for that. It's amazing that all these rich people are critical of everybody else, you know, and trying to tell us how to live our lives,
right?
When they can live in the lap of luxury and hypocrisy. I tell you, it's hypocrisy. I tell you. Okay, well, We haven't been in this position before.
Whoa, what position is that?
Oh, it's a new position. Well, it's a Thursday night. Oh, I guess we should. One thing we haven't talked about that we were supposed to talk about early on is the naming of our Wednesday night show.
Yes.
You want to do the honors this time on that?
Make sure that you give us a suggestion. Who do we already – do you have the list in front of you, Donald Wayne?
I do.
you better have glaucoma. I do.
Well, talk a minute and I'll find it. I have to turn around. It's behind me.
What we're doing is we're looking for suggestions that we can name our Wednesday frivolity show that we used to do on Friday. So it's a fun show that we do, and we like for our listeners to come up with a name, and the one name that we pick, you will actually win something for getting picked. That's about it. I'm trying to jazz it up, but that's as much as I can.
Real difficult rules there. Let's see. It has to be clean. It has to be something that we can actually use on this show. Yes,
that's right. Yeah.
This is a non-explicit show.
All right.
We put our toes on the line sometimes, but we don't cross over. Well, I won't say that.
Bless you. Bless you, sir.
I have let a few things get past me unintentionally.
One toe over the line. Did you find your list, Donald?
Did you call me Don? What'd you say?
PB, welcome.
Okay. Well, all right. I'm not sure what you said. So the suggestions that we've gotten already was, and I'm not going to call the people's names out because I want to keep that the names of the innocent protected until we choose the winner.
Right.
Wicked Wednesday. Yeah. Now, did you say that Wednesday was going to be our frivolity show taking the place of the one we used to do on Friday?
Well, okay. I mean, it is, isn't it?
It is.
Okay. Yeah.
But I was in the process of turning around and getting this list, so I missed that. Wicked Wednesday, Well-Meaning Wednesday, and What's Up Wednesday.
Whimsical.
Also, you're right. That was the first. Yeah. Whimsical, Weird Ass Wednesday, and Wacky Wednesday. So those are the suggestions so far. We kind of want something that maybe rhymes with Wednesday or has Wednesday in it, but you know.
What about a Whomping Wednesday or Walloping Wednesday or
Walloping? What was that tree in Harry Potter?
The Whomping Willow.
Whomping Willow tree. we probably couldn't use Whomping Willow because that's probably
that's probably trademarked.
Yeah,
probably.
You get in trouble with the Potter people. So
you don't want to get in trouble.
Lara says Weird Wednesday, but I don't know if that was already suggested.
I didn't call that one out. No, I didn't.
Well,
call
you
that
said
Wednesday.
Weird Ass Wednesday, but not just.
Well,
weird
that's true.
Wednesday. So technically, that's different. So you can put that down for Laura.
If you remove the ass out of there, then that would work.
Whoa, the ass out of it, Donald Wayne said.
let me write that one down before I forget
it. My goodness.
And Laura suggested that. Is that what it was?
Yes.
Right.
Okay. And you did say that this is going on till basically the end of the month.
End of the month, right.
So it won't be a long contest, and
no, we don't have much longer left. This is a short month.
But you can either submit them here, or if you happen to think of something and the show's not on at the time, you can send it by email, which we'll be giving out that information.
Can email us or Twitter us, or send it by a carrier pigeon as long as we get it.
Well, let me know if you're going to use carrier pigeon because there is no bird seed out in the reception post. So
it may try and penetrate your window yonder.
Could. All right. So that covers the contest, but there will be a prize at the end of that. So hopefully it'll be worth your time to think of some catchy titles that we could use for our Wednesday show.
Did you say a catchy-tachy?
Catchy title. Did I go into the zone again?
Yes, you did.
Thank you.
Yes.
Sounded like it.
Okay. Yeah. I actually noticed that on you a couple of minutes ago, Dennis. So
Algorithm.
Yeah, we have cloud cover tonight, so maybe the satellite feed isn't as good as it normally would be. So I guess that's we can roll into the next thing, which would be Mr. Eric. If you're ready.
Right. I guess the show's coming up on Podbean Live, of course. I think Ralph has had taken a couple days off, but hopefully he'll be coming back, you know, next week to his normal time slot of 6 a.m. Eastern time with his morning coffee with Ralph William. Then you've also got Chit Chat with the Old Man weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern time, 7 a.m. Pacific. And just even mentioned, like, with the Old Man, how he often blames sunspots, you know, like on shoddy internet connection and stuff. But this Friday, you know, in about, you know, in a little under 10 hours, he'll have his Friday edition and of course, the February installment of Cooking with Dina, Joe, and Grammy, plus his Friday night music show at 11 p.m. Eastern time and his Sunday music shows at 9 a.m. and 2 p.m. Eastern. And following, like, Friday's Chit Chat with the Old Man is the John DeVito show, if nothing changes. And also be on the lookout for other great Podbean live shows, including Just Another Day in Paradise, should they go live, and Cummings's Culture, you know, currently weekdays at 2 p.m. But, I mean, his show time's maybe going to change soon, so we'll keep you posted. The Friday edition of Frankie D's Crib at 3 p.m. Eastern. Also be on the lookout for Lyra to do her Communication Station podcast and Pink Squirrel to do her Whose Podcast Is This Anyway podcast, and Lady Me to do her A Day in the Life of Me. And then Friday at 7 p.m. Eastern time, be on the lookout for the Swap Doesn't Lie podcast, and other great shows worth mentioning include Chuckabilly's Not Your Cup of Tea and Lyrical Laxatives, and Chris's Forgotten Tunes music show, and Robert's Mr. Clean music show, and you know, who else? The Woke Conservative podcast, and the It's Doomsday podcast, of course, really good friends of ours, and the Slightly Serious Show weeknights at 9:30 p.m. Eastern time, and a host of other great podcast friends here on Podbean I'm sure you might enjoy. And of course, Dennis Lee can tell you how to get in touch with Troll Tales in the Rabbit Hole and Trice Talk. And are you still there?
Yeah. I heard you cut out for a second. Thanks, Eric.
Thank you, Eric.
I heard nothing. Okay. Thanks. What is that?
What?
Sounds like a guitar.
Whoa, watch out there.
Are you picking, Dennis?
I was strumming there. Hey, Corin. Yeah, thank you, Eric. If you want to Twitter us, grab us, really get a hold of us, you can do that on Twitter at TriceTalk WG Moon. You can get us an email on TriceTalk69PTS@gmail.com. And you can also send those suggestions for the Wednesday show to that TriceTalk69PTS@gmail.com, where if we pick you, you will be a winner. And you can get us on Facebook. If you'll follow us there, you can also have the most current shows are posted there, even the past shows, the articles that we use. And that is at TriceTalk on Facebook. And you can get us on Spotify at TriceTalk. And hell, you can even get us on Amazon Music at Trice Talk. And we are here every Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 11 p.m. in the Eastern time zone with impromptu shows and mini pods. And if you want to get weird and explicit, just not sick, you can come over to Tall Tales in the Rabbit Hole every Saturday, Sunday, and Monday at 9:30 p.m. in the Eastern time zone, or somewhere thereabouts, with impromptu shows during the week as well. And we appreciate you because we can't do it without you.
Yeah. Thanks, BP.
Yeah, I appreciate you, BP.
Yeah.
Yeah. But now, we'll be seeing everybody around. Love you and God bless you.
One other note, just to make sure, there's that guitar again. I hear noises. I hear voices. you know, ever since we started in July, we've always had a Friday night show, which was the Friday night frivolity. So we are no longer doing Friday night. So our regular series of Trash Talk will not be back until Sunday night. But just in case any of you are used to the Friday show, we are no longer doing that one. So,
well, you never know, Don. We can pop in there.
So. Well, we may have a mini pod.
Yeah, I was going to bring that up.
It may have a mini pod on the Friday night, but yeah. So we just kind of switched it. That's why we're doing the Wednesday thing. So anyway, thanks to all of you for joining us tonight. This was our first Thursday night in the new schedule. And so hopefully you will look for us every Thursday night at this time. I forgot to mention at the first of the show, that song, in case anybody was interested, was The River by Jordan Feliz. Do you know who that is, Dennis Lee? Have you ever heard him before?
I didn't know Jordan had fleas, actually.
That
poor guy.
Yeah, well.
Cream for that.
Yeah, yeah, and a shot or a pill. You can take a pill for that.
I mean, for everything.
But again, thanks, everyone, for being with us tonight and participating in the show. The closing thought for tonight is, one day your life will flash before your eyes. Make sure that it is worth watching. And with that, we're going out of here with Sade. Well, I say we're going out of here with Sade.
Yeah. And I'm gonna say basically thank you to BP 49, Jess Duck, Crimson, R. Willis, 434, Lara, Sarmenti, Sober Mike, and Sean, who are also on the top 10, for joining us live. We hope to see you again next time.
Yes, and thank you, Eric, and thank you.
And thank you to those listening to this on download.
Indeed.
Thanks, Eric. Yeah, just a little bit of Sade to get out of here.
Sade.
I always get that.
The party's right. Over.
Stay safe, everybody.
See you later. I have a rock to cling to in the storm. When no one can hear me calling, I have you I can sing to. And then all this, and then all my life, you are the lover's rock, the rock that I cling to.